Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 10 of Pepperdine People. I'm Ted Garcia, and I'm joined today by Dr. Luisa Blanco. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
No problem. The first question is, why do you believe there's been a rise in the popularity of the political left in Latin America?
Well, there are several reasons that they explain why we see this increase in popularity. I talk about them yesterday in a lecture I gave out, so this lecture should be available online, I think, by next week. But I want to focus on three main things that I consider them one of the most important ones. One is that this rise of popularity of the left is really related to the economic history of Latin America. It seems to be a recurrent cycle where we see this increase in the popularity of the left, then this left races to power. Mm-hmm. Then once the left is in power, we see some policies that they implement, that they become unsustainable. Then countries are forced to move away from those type of policies. And then we get back to the center and right type of governments. And then the cycle repeats again. We have seen that in the last decades. Then another main reason why we see this increase on the left is inequality, income inequality. Latin America is one of the most unequal regions of the world. This inequality has been present since the colonial period. Income inequality has actually been increasing in the last decades. And since the left in Latin America really has the goal to promote equality, then it is very attractive in a very unequal country. So here we will see that individuals will be attracted towards the leftist movement, right? And then finally, the other reason that I think that explains this increase in popularity is ethnic diversity in the region. Mm-hmm. And this is because the political process in Latin America has been dominated by the non-indigenous population since the colonial period again. And these, under this circumstance, the rhetoric that the left a long period of time.
Now, some countries have made more of a shift to the left than other countries. Which countries are those and why?
Yeah, that is very important because when we talk about the leftist movement in Latin America, we need to make this distinction. Scholars like to call it this distinction between the radical left and the pragmatic left. And I like to call it the radical left as those countries that they have experienced a sharp turn to the left. And then the pragmatic left will be those countries that they do a slight turn to the left. Mm-hmm. And the countries that I see as doing this sharp turn to the left are well, Venezuela with Hugo Chavez, then Bolivia with Evo Morales, mm-hmm. then also Ecuador with Rafael Correa, Argentina with Cristina Kirchner, and then Nicaragua with Daniel Ortega, and Cuba, which has been in this radical leftist movement for quite some time, can also be considered in that part in Latin America. And the reasons why we consider these countries differently than other leftist movements in the region is because these movements tend to be very anti-capitalist, anti-American, and very nationalist. And in these movements, we see that the governments focus on promoting economic growth and equality through government spending. And so they do this actually by ignoring the dangers of these type of strategies. So we see that there is a lot of state control in the economy. And then also in terms of the political approach, we see that there is a presidentialist form of democracy mm-hmm. where a lot of power is put into the executive. In a very radical way. So they are different, definitely.
So how does the global financial crisis fit into all of this?
Well, the global financial crisis, I think, will put these leftist movements to test. And the reason why they're going to be put to test is because many of these movements, especially the radical ones, depend a lot on the revenues that they get from their oil and natural gas. So in this case, we will see that right now with the financial crisis, the energy prices have decreased significantly. So that means less revenues for these leftist governments, which consequently will mean less spending on social programs, right? And these will be reflected on less support from their constituents.
Now, how is political instability related to policymaking in Latin America?
Well, political instability is something that policymakers in the region really want to focus on and make sure that it doesn't show up, right? And this is because political instability is very damaging in terms of domestic investment. Economic growth in the long run.
You claim that history is repeating itself in the region regarding economic growth and development. Can you explain that?
My claim is related to the fact that actually the current leftist leaders that we see today are not very different from some of the populist leaders that we saw before in the region. So here we see that the radical leftist leaders today are using very similar strategies that other populist leaders, such as Perón in Argentina. We have also Vargas in Brazil, and then Aya de la Torre in Peru, used a long time ago. And here we see that the previous populist leaders used this inward development strategy, which was proved to be a failure, and the current leaders are taking an fail, especially in the global world that we live today.
So a lot of people are going to want to know, where does your interest come from in all this?
Well, I am an economist, but I really love to take an interdisciplinary approach for my research. I like to grab from other disciplines such as history, sociology, political science. I've always been fascinated by these other disciplines. And my special interest on the leftist movements actually can be related to the Mexican presidential elections in 2006. I think that was the time when the red flag for me happened. And this is because, well, as a Mexican citizen, during those elections, I was able to vote for the first time on the mail, which I thought was a very good sign of the improvements that we have in the country in terms of democracy. However, during those elections, we saw that they weren't pretty. We had a lot of trouble around those elections. And in my opinion, the institutions that we had in place.
So what do Americans need to know about the politics of Latin America, and are there lessons we can learn?
I can think of two main lessons for now. One will be that I think that Americans need to put a special interest in understanding these changes, the changes in Latin America, since they will have an impact on them, because I think that Americans cannot continue to ignore what is going on with their closest neighbors. Then in terms of foreign policy, I think that there is a need to take a different approach, so that we see that there is not an imposition from the United States, but a conscious effort to try to keep good relations and to try to continue the economic aid that goes to the region and also the trade agreements that can help to improve the economic conditions in those countries. And then I guess the other lesson that I think that we need to get out of this is that, well, I think democracy is very fragile, and that there should be a continuous effort also to keep it in place. And it seems that some of these leftist movements in Latin America are threatening the process of democratization, which is very unfortunate because Latin America was able to make a great progress in the last decades in that aspect.
Yeah.
And for Americans, I think that they need to do not take democracy for granted.
Very good. Very informative. Dr. Luisa Blanco, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
And I'm Ted Garcia. Thank you for listening.